To Acts chapter 12 this morning. I don't know, I was studying on things for today and I guess I saw something or heard somebody say something about Easter coming up, and my wife had asked if we had that holiday off here in the U.S. because she said in Canada they did, but we used to here. Every business is closed on Good Friday, and we're closed for the whole weekend. Not anymore. And certainly, if you see the title of my sermon this morning, should Christians celebrate Easter? I'm not condoning that, but there was a time when in our nation where people thought more godly and gave respect to things of God, whether it was a false holiday or not, which I guess wouldn't truly be of God, but at least a thought is there of God. We have seen in more recent years, how the false celebration of our Lord's birth in December is even now not as popular as it once was, other than just having a day off work. You know, that's about all it is now. But in Acts 12, our text is from verse 4, but we're going to start with verse 1. And speaking of Peter when he was in prison under the command of Herod, who was the king at the time in Judah. But remember, Herod was a puppet king. He was not of the lineage of David. He was a Jew, was raised a Jew. He knew the Jewish laws and the Jewish traditions, but he also was a puppet of the Roman government, and was more secular leaning, I guess you could say today, like we would say today. He was more secular leaning than he was religiously leaning. And if you remember, we've been through this study many times on the Herods. The name Herod was the family of kings. From a grandfather or great grandfather on, there was three or four generations of men named Herod in the New Testament. And all of them, very wicked men. If you remember back, Herod the Great, when our Lord was born on this earth, the things that he did to try to kill the babe, the very Messiah himself tried to kill him. It wasn't because he was a good Jew, it was because he was an evil man. Here, this, I believe, if I remember correctly, would be Herod the Great's grandson. This Herod in Acts was even a different, I believe he was even different than the one who was in power at the time of our Lord's death and burial and resurrection. So this is the third one in line. But in verse, we'll just read a few verses here, starting with verse 1. Now by the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And this is right along the lines of what Paul was, or Saul, before he was Paul, what he was doing, remember? He was vexing certain ones in the church, just as Herod is here. Herod had given the command to stop the spread of the Lord's church, because they saw and understood that it was, as the scripture tells us, they were turning the world upside down. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And this James, brother of John, was at the time was considered not necessarily the leader of the apostles, but he was the leader of the church there, the chief elder, if you want to call him that. I don't know that would have been his title, but but in our way of thinking, that's kind of how he would have been. And then it says in verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews. Now, that's where we go back to him being not a faithful Jew. He did it because it pleased the Jews. He killed James because it pleased the Jews. The same reason that Jesus was killed was because it pleased the Jews. Worldly speaking, we know that that was God's plan, and so was the killing of James. It was also God's plan, but Herod did it because it pleased the Jews. He proceeded further to take Peter also, and his plan was for Peter also. Peter was another one of the apostles, another one of the 12 that was stirring up trouble in their line of thought. He was stirring up trouble. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And he mentions unleavened bread here for a reason. It was time for the Jewish Passover. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing in the church of the church unto God for him. Now, our text is verse 4. And when with this word Easter that's here, and there's two or three or four, maybe more that I'm not aware of, different thoughts on this. Verse 3 says then were the days of unleavened bread. So it was time for the Passover in that day. Some say that this word Easter is another word for the word Passover. Some say it's another word for, or it's referring to the pagan holiday that the Romans would have observed. And certainly Herod, being both, would have very possibly could have observed both. We don't know. But I tend to think that because the Lord specifically mentions the days of unleavened bread here, that the translators translated this word English, this word Easter, because that's what they saw it as. And we'll get to this in a bit later in the sermon, but both days are really close together around the same time of the year. So were they referring to the Passover, or were they referring to the pagan holiday? Well, I've seen it both ways. I'll leave it at that. I tend to believe that it should have been Passover, but I also see and understand that Herod was not a good man. He was an evil man. We see here that he was trying to stamp out the Lord's church, but he also was trying to please the Jews. And so we know that he did not want to put Peter to death until after, if it was the Passover. He would not want to do it until after the Passover was complete. He did not want to interrupt a Jewish holiday with the death of someone who was a Jew. On the other hand, him being pagan himself, and observing pagan holidays, he would not want to interrupt his own holiday. So it could be either way. Now, that's not the topic of our message this morning, but just to give a little background there. Now, back to our introduction. Every year at this time, Christians, and I put that in quotes because it should be, because there are those who call themselves Christians who are not called Christians by the Lord. And we've did a study on that just a few weeks ago. Around the world, Christians around the world celebrate the holiday known as Easter. The word Easter in itself has pagan roots. That's a fact. You can look that up in any encyclopedia, religious encyclopedia or secular encyclopedia, and you'll get the same story. It's a pagan holiday. It comes from pagan roots. There's no doubt of that. Yet so many Christians today will use the verse above to say that Easter was observed by the first church in Jerusalem. Where does it say that in that verse? It does not. It says, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. If, like in verse 1, it says Herod stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, why would he care if it was a holiday of the church? That would make no sense. He was more concerned about the Jews, for one, because he was outnumbered, for one. And the Romans were concerned about that. If you go back and study that history of that day, the Roman army, that stressed them greatly, because they were greatly outnumbered by the Jews. Now, they had their bluff in on the Jews because of their military might. But they were in a land where they were greatly outnumbered. And the Roman military leaders that were in control of the land were concerned about those things. They knew that if they caused an uprising, that they probably wouldn't going to live through it. They might win the war, but not the battle, you know, if you know what I'm saying. And so if you're in command of troops and you're in the middle of a foreign land which you're controlling and you're outnumbered, certainly you're looking out for yourself. And so these leaders, these Roman leaders, to a certain extent, would bend in favor of the Jews at times. At the same time, they ruled with a rod of iron also. But so, if this was a holiday of the first church at Jerusalem, why would Herod even care? Wouldn't you think that would be the perfect time to martyr one of their leaders, would it not? What about James? Why didn't he wait about killing James if it was such an important holiday for the church? He didn't care about the church. He didn't care about if they had holy days or not. He didn't care about those things. He was more concerned about the Jewish holy days and the holy days of the Roman Empire. Lord willing, in the next 2 weeks, today and next Sunday both, we will look at the false doctrine known as Easter. This is very lengthy today. Next week, I don't intend it to be that lengthy, but anyway, he says, I'm not trying to go too in depth in this study, as we could spend months on this topic. Instead, I'll try to stick to the teachings that are common in our day in an attempt to show the lie of the most popish holiday of the year, or popish holy day. It's even, and if you look at things, you see that it is the most holy day of the year to the Roman Catholic world. I believe the first thing I should point out here is the fact that Christians all over the world celebrate this holy day. Not just true Christians, but also those who claim to be Christians. And like I said to start off with, just because you say you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. Just like if you claim to be a Baptist, that doesn't make you a Baptist. It's what you believe. It's your doctrines that you believe, what you teach and preach, that makes you a Baptist or a Christian, either one. Like I said, we did our study a few weeks ago on Christians and the church at Antioch. And obviously, they were the disciples of Christ. And so their enemies called them, those in the city where they lived, called them Christians. We don't put Baptists traditionally have not put Christian on the name on their church building. because of the confusion. Because that doesn't, and the way things are nowadays, that doesn't tell you anything. Same way, today we have the same problem with the name Baptist. There are so many false Baptists out there that the name Baptist doesn't mean anything anymore. We still put it there because we understand that that's our heritage. But, you know, the churches we fellowship with closely have added other things to that descriptive names, you know, Landmark or Sovereign Grace or Missionary or whatever to their church name to tell a little bit more about things. But names used to mean something, and words used to mean something. And just like the name Christian and the name Baptist, the name Easter has a meaning. Trace it back to its roots. Just like you would Christian, the name Christian or the name Baptist, trace it back to its roots and see where it comes from. The name Easter can be traced back all the way back to Babylon. And that's a fact, a historical fact. Easter is the most holy day in the Holy Roman Empire, in the Catholic Church. Matter of fact, it was the popes in Rome that brought the Easter celebration to what they call Christianity. It was not the celebration was not observed by the first churches in the first century, nor was it observed by our Baptist forefathers. For the most part, Easter was not celebrated in Baptist churches until the early part of the 20th century. And that's a fact. You can trace it back and do some history on some Baptist churches, and you will see that. There's a website, Baptist History Homepage, I think is the name of it. You can go in there and just Google the word Easter and see what you find. Yeah, there were some Baptists in our nation that observed Easter, and they're there, but there weren't that many. It was not like it is today. Not like it. It seems like in the early part of the 20th century, these celebrating holidays just boomed all of a sudden overnight. And it was because of the divisions and difference in doctrines you had in the different churches. Now, I can stop here because anything the Catholic Church started and or observes is holy. Used to be enough for a Baptist to say, we'll not have any of it in our church. But today, that is not the case. You know, Baptists used to take a stand for these things and say, we're not going to follow Roman Catholicism. You know, there was a day not too long ago when none of these holidays were observed by Baptists. There were other things. I can remember a day when even liberal Baptists wouldn't have a cross on their building because they considered it Catholic or Protestant, because they didn't want to associate with those things. Now, people don't care anymore about those things. It's just like they've given in, and it's a sad thing. It's the things that our forefathers fought and died for, things that maybe they didn't, they proclaimed and didn't physically fight for, but were martyred for and died for, their beliefs, their doctrines, are today laughed at and scoffed. You know, it's a sad thing when, you know, you mention something about what we believe here on these pagan holidays, whether it's Easter or Christmas or Valentine's Day or some of the others, and you mention something to certain people, and they laugh at you. And they're like, well, we thought you were Christian. Or they'll say, well, we thought you were a Baptist. Well, that's why we don't celebrate those things. You know, that should be our answer. The reason we don't celebrate them is because we are Baptists and because we are Christian. And it's just it's ongoing. I mean, you're the one in the wrong always. So Matthew 15 for our next reading. Matthew 15:9. Matthew 15, verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. These are the words of Jesus. And if you go back to verse 2, you kind of see what he's talking about there. He says, why do the Jews, the Pharisees, and the scribes ask him, why do thy disciples, talking about his 12 disciples, transgress the tradition of the elders? Why do they go against the tradition? You notice he says that they say the tradition of the elders? Not the traditions of God, but the traditions of the elders. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. They considered it a great sin. You know, you've heard that term, cleanliness is close to godliness. Well, the Jews are where that came from. Now, we know it's good hygiene to wash your hands before you eat a meal. We do that, but if you don't, it's not some great sin. You know, God's not going to send you to hell for not washing your hands before you eat. But according to the Jews, he did. That's what they were saying here. Christ comes back and says, but in vain thou do worship me. In other words, you're trying to worship me, but you're doing it in vain. And he says, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Men have made, just like the holidays, just like Easter, men have come up and said, okay, Christians are supposed to follow this, no matter what. The Roman Catholicism is very good at that. If you look down through history, they command that you do things this way, whether it's scriptural or not. And much of what they do is not scriptural. We know that. But to command that we observe, and when the commandment comes from men, that is the difference. You know, there are commandments of God. You know, men have trouble following the commandments of God, but they'll follow the commands of men. Do we not do that today? You look at this past year. You know, we just had the recent one-year anniversary of when we had the first lockdowns concerning COVID. Look at all the churches that closed because the government told them to. That would be considered a tradition of man. That's a command of men. The Lord commanded us to meet, to congregate, and to come to worship Him on the appointed day. But so many followed the commands of men. There are other things that we see day to day, the commands of men. If the commands of men are based on Scripture, that's one thing. But so much of, like this here with the Jews there in Matthew 15, with the scribes and the Pharisees, much of their doctrines were based on scriptural teachings, but they carried it too far. They added to it and took away from the original and made it the doctrines of men. Over and over, Jesus and the writers of the New Testament warned us of following after the world and those who claim to be godly. We've been studying recently on false doctrine and false prophets. Yet because we are afraid of being ridiculed by our peers, we give in to false doctrine. Isn't that how it usually works? Isn't that how we usually fall into false doctrine, is because we don't want to be different from the crowd? We don't want to be ridiculed by other Baptists because we don't want to follow the holidays that they follow. Isn't that how we're pressured into it sometimes? We're supposed to be, as the Lord said, the salt and light in the world. But many of God's chosen are no better than the pagan worshipers of Rome. And you look, we'll get into some more things on this study, but in the past 100 years or so, there has been a great falling away from the truth of God's word by Christians. And that's not in, in my notes, I don't have that in parentheses, because I'm speaking of God's true churches, Christians, people who claim, who have a right to be called Christian. There's been a great falling away from the faith. Those who once believed the truth. And you look at the people who have come and gone through this church, and even some who may still be members here, that were taught the truth here, and yet they still follow after the doctrines of men. They still follow after pagan holidays, and it's that way in all the Lord's churches that I know of. The pastors will tell you, you know, they've got people in their congregation that don't listen to what's preached. They don't listen to God's word when it's preached, when it's proclaimed. Once they walk out the back door, they're done. You know, the rest of the week they do what they want. Maybe even on the same day in some cases. You know, I know people who will, if Christmas falls on Sunday, they're not going to go to church. They're going to spend time with their family instead. But what greater time, or what greater witness is there to be in the Lord's house? There are some people who now won't even, you know, traditionally in our country anyway, Easter Sunday was the day that was one of the few days a year that some people would even show up at church. Now, their family comes first instead of the Lord, even on what's supposed to be a religious holiday. Now, they'll stay home instead of coming to the Lord's house. So you don't have that tradition anymore. It's a falling away. It's just disturbing how people have changed. You know, even, you know, pastors used to gear their sermons around, and I know men who do this or have done it in the past. The only time you'd hear them preach a really good salvation message would be either on Christmas Sunday or Easter Sunday, because they knew that's when the crowd would be there. The rest of the time, I don't know what they preached, but that's that's how they would do it. And certainly we take advantage of preaching the gospel, but that shouldn't be the only time. Some will try to deny the pagan roots of Easter. The fact is, the word Easter is derived from the name of Astarte or Ashtaroth, one of the titles of Semiramis, the Babylon Queen of Heaven. And I'm not going to turn there this morning, but you remember in our study in Jeremiah, he talked about the Queen of Heaven, who was a Babylonian false god. That is a fact. The Babylonians celebrated an annual feast of Semiramis in the month of April. Now, Easter doesn't always, as we know it today, does not always fall in April. It may be in March. It may be in April. It fluctuates. This celebration was brought to Rome by the Chaldean priest. Remember the Chaldeans that was the nation that Babylon was the capital city of. And as the story goes, the Nebuchadnezzar, I believe it was the one who started it, even though he's the one gets the credit for it most of the time, started the Babylonian mystery religion. It actually goes back further than him. It actually goes all the way back to Nimrod. Nebuchadnezzar and those men, those kings around his time, were the ones who popularized it, I guess. And they had these Chaldean priests, which was a resemblance of the priest in Jerusalem. If you study that some, you see that it was Satan's way of mimicking God. They were very similar. They did things very similar to the priest in Jerusalem. And when the Jews were taken into captivity in Babylon, the Chaldean priests are the ones. And if you look through the Old Testament through some of those stories there in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and we'll see some of it in Ezekiel when we get to it, and in Daniel and some other places, the Chaldean priests were trying to learn from the Jews how to worship, different ways to worship. But it wasn't to worship their God, it was to worship their false gods. And this worship of the mother, the queen of heaven, or the mother of heaven, however you want to look at it, was a false doctrine. It was she was a false god. There is never, in the scripture, there is never a queen of heaven. Now, we know the Son of God has his bride, but have you ever noticed she's never referred to as a queen, ever? Why is that? I don't know. But the Lord chose not to give her that title. He's referred to as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but the church is never referred to as the queen. So even in eternity, when the Bible talks about things in eternity, and we'll see when we get to chapter 21 tonight in Revelation, she's never referred to as the queen. The celebration was brought to Rome by the Chaldean priest when the Roman Emperor Constantine sought to combine pagan beliefs with Christian beliefs, so there would be peace among the people in his empire. The Chaldean priest, they at some point went into hiding when Cyrus of Persia overthrew Babylon. The Chaldean priests were forced to leave because he was going to kill them, and he did kill a lot of them. When he destroyed Babylon, one of the things he did, he destroyed their temple, destroyed their library. They had Nebuchadnezzar had built a great library in Babylon, and it was, from what we're told, it was some very wicked stuff in that library, much witchcraft and false books on witchcraft and books on false doctrines and false teachings and false gods. A lot of that stuff went with the Chaldean priests when they went into hiding. And at some point they went into hiding and somewhere, I can't remember the exact story, but somewhere around the area around what is now Turkey. And at some point, they kept popping back up in time, in history, here and there. And finally, when Constantine came to power, and if you remember his story, he supposedly saw a cross in the sky when he was out with his army and commanded them all to be baptized, and they all jumped in the river and baptized themselves. Doesn't sound very godly to us as Baptists, does it? But supposedly that was the beginnings of Roman Catholicism, because when he went back to Rome the next time, that's when he made the command for the state church, and brought with him the Chaldean priest. And to keep peace in the kingdom, in the empire, he had them join together with the so-called Christians there, those who had fallen from the true churches, those who had fallen out of fellowship with the true churches. And they began to bring in the different holy days of the pagans and Christianize them. That's what they called it. And they still do today. They Christianize things. They'll take a holiday or a false god and give him a so-called Christian name. If you look at many of the statues and memorials and things in Rome in particular, and in that part of the world. They're leftovers from Roman and Greek mythology, and the Constantine and those after him put what they call Christian names on them. You know, there's a, I can't remember, there's a statue in Rome that's pretty popular. It's a statue, I can't remember if it's of Peter or John the Baptist or somebody, one of the Lord's true saints. Well, they named him that, but it was actually, in the beginning, was the statue of one of the Roman gods, Zeus or Apollo or somebody like that. And yet they put the name of one of the Lord's saints on him. It's blasphemy, true and simple. It's the same way, why would you, if we were to continue, in which we're not commanded, and we'll get into this more next week, but if we're not commanded to observe the Jewish holidays, as you know, there are people who actually believe, and there's some Baptists who actually believe that we should still be observing the Passover. Well, the whole purpose of the Lord going to the cross and dying and being risen again was so we didn't have to observe the Passover anymore. It was the last observance of the Passover. And so the celebration of Easter, if you want to try to say that it's the Passover, that would be blasphemy to God to give it a pagan name, would it not? Now, nowhere is Easter or the celebration of spring mentioned in the first churches of the New Testament. Here in Acts, if you go back to Acts chapter 12, in verse 4, that is the only time that word is used in all of the Scripture. And depending on who you talk to, some will say that the King James translators made a mistake. Some say King James translators put it there for a reason. I believe the Lord put it there for a reason. Was it to cause controversy between men? Maybe it's his way of laughing at us. I don't know how stupid we can be. But it's there for a reason. I'll just put it that way. If it ain't not for anything else, it's to make a study to see why it's there or to see the truth about it. Historians record no such celebration in the churches before Catholicism. The churches that are mentioned in the New Testament did not observe any of the pagan holidays that are observed today, including Easter. And why? Because they knew better. They knew these things did not glorify the Lord. And that was their purpose, was to glorify Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel, to follow the Great Commission, to teach his disciples, to spread the gospel throughout their part of the world. That was their whole purpose in life. The only day that they would have considered holy, and it wasn't, they didn't take it to the extreme that the Jews did, but they did consider the Lord's Day, which was the first day of the week, was the day that they observed as when they would meet to have their church service, is what we call it today. That's the day they came together in corporate worship. That's throughout the Scripture. That's throughout the New Testament, through the letters that Paul wrote in Acts. We see that. And then we know that the Jews, they kept their Sabbath. And you remember, Jesus even had to warn the Jews because they carried Sabbath worship to the extreme. You know, you weren't to do any work on the Sabbath. You couldn't cook a meal. You couldn't you couldn't do anything. Remember when he would heal somebody on the Sabbath? They would just all throw a fit and were ready to stone him to death, you know, because he broke the law. Well, he didn't break the law. They had taken the law and manipulated it. And so the way it is with the scriptures, many of God's people today have taken the scriptures and manipulated them and made them to fit what they want. And so they try to take this holiday, this so-called holiday, and make it what they want it to be. The fact that so many refuse to see that this Easter mentioned in Acts 12:4 was not the Christian celebration of Easter. Rather, it was the pagan celebration. King Herod was a pagan worshiper, not a Christian. That's obvious from the first verse. He was trying to stamp out the Christians, the churches. He was a, in which followed right along with what the Jews were trying to do in their day, because I mentioned Saul, remember, that before he was saved, he was persecuting the Lord's churches. The Jewish high priest was the one that sent him out. So whether Herod was following the Jewish tradition or he was following the pagan tradition, neither one was an observance of the church. It looks like I skipped ahead in my notes, so let me kind of catch up here. Something to note here is that Easter does not fall on the same date every year. Passover does. The date of Easter is set by the spring solstice. The date of Passover is set by the historical date when God led the Hebrew children out of Egypt. A big difference. Now, I say that. Now, I noticed, and before next week, I'm going to go back and look at this more. That used to be the way for the Passover. But I noticed that it's not the same on the same time. And I suspect when I go to look at it, I think what it is the difference between our calendar and the Jewish calendar. Because this year, the Passover starts on March 28th. When I had studied this before, and I had gone back and looked at some other notes from a sermon I'd preached before on this, that year, which was, it actually was 10 years ago when I preached this, or preached some of this, was where I found my notes. It was on March 14th that, April. It was in April that year, the Passover was, and Easter was on April 14th that year. This year, Passover begins on March 28th, and Easter is not until April 4th. And supposedly, according to Roman Catholicism, Easter comes on the last day of the Passover. Now, we know the Passover was the historical date when God led his Hebrew children out of Egypt. We've studied that before, and we might look more into that next time, but when did Jesus rise from the dead? Jesus was taken down from the cross and placed in the tomb at the end of the day before Passover. This year, we have Easter Sunday, 7 days after the beginning of Passover. And how is that scriptural? So these are things we need to consider. Remember, and I'll mention this again later, but remember, as the Bereans did, we need to study what's preached. Whether it's here or wherever we hear it preached, we need to study it. And so many today follow after the traditions of man because they won't study what God's Word says. Now for a common sense look, well, I'll tell you what, we're gonna stop there for today. Pick up next time with a more common sense study, sense look at Easter. Because I've got quite a bit more in my notes here than I thought about. So, and next time we will look more into some of these things that we've mentioned this morning. This was just an introduction, and so, and remember also this year, Easter weekend is the weekend of our Bible conference. I didn't notice that when we first scheduled that, so it wasn't on purpose. That's the weekend that we've always had the Bible conference, and that's when Easter is this weekend. I'm sure that's not the first time that's happened. Anyway, we'll finish this study up next Sunday, and then start preparing for the Bible conference. So, that's all we have for this morning.